Let us open with hymn number 84.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto thee that of thy mercy and compassion thou didst suffer thy dear Son to become incarnate and didst through him redeem us from sin and everlasting death. We beseech thee, enlighten our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace and comfort ourselves with the same in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this Christmas day is found in the 9th chapter of Isaiah, the 2nd through the 7th verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garment rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here ends our Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 2nd chapter of Titus, the 11th through the 14th verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Here ends the epistle lesson. The people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord said unto me, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The gospel is found in the 2nd chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 14th verse.
Glory be to thee.
It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus and that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 76. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the Gospel lesson, Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, our Savior, consider the nature of a newborn child. He is helpless. If left on his own, he will die. He cannot feed himself. He cannot so much as take a drink of water. Someone must change his diapers and his clothing. He cannot communicate in any way except by crying. He does not understand much more than the sound of his mother and father's voices. Of all human beings, a newborn is the humblest and weakest of all. Now consider our God in all of his glory, wisdom, and power. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. His thoughts are incomprehensible to men. He designed the entire creation, including life in all of its intricacies. And he brought all of this vast universe into being merely by speaking his powerful words. God, with his infinite might, man, in the most humble of forms, place these two side by side, and you could hardly find two things that are more opposite in nature. Men naturally respect power, might, authority. But as for little children, babes in arms, they are counted as the humans of least worth. That is why, both historically and in our day, so many children have been sacrificed, whether to the ancient false gods or to the modern god of abortion. It is little wonder, then, that of all the ways that the Son of God might have chosen to come to man, it is the greatest offense to men that he chose to be born as a helpless child. Yet kings have children too. The rich and the mighty and the wise value their offspring, and it is common enough of a thing that hope is placed in children of great parents. But God did not choose great and notable parents for his son to be born into the world. He chose a young girl from an obscure branch of David's family line, and for a stepfather, Joseph, a man who, though a hard-working builder, was nevertheless a laborer, not a noble, not rich or mighty, or highly trained in the wisdom of his day. And consider the circumstance for the birth of Jesus, a circumstance which God himself arranged so that his son would be born not in Nazareth, but in Bethlehem, even as the prophet Micah foretold. Mary and Joseph were at the mercy of the government, made to abandon all of their necessary business and travel with a woman 9 months pregnant just so that they could be registered in the city of their lineage. And though Joseph surely could have afforded a room for himself and his betrothed wife, they were far from the only families forced to leave their homes and travel to Bethlehem on that day. There was simply no room to be had. Despite the common picture of a barn or cattle stall shown in every manger scene ever made, it is far more likely that the child Jesus was delivered in the common room or the central court, which many of the inns had in those days. But whatever the case, necessity became the mother of invention when a manger was borrowed from the cattle to serve as a makeshift crib. Every instinct of man says that this was quite unfitting for the creator of the universe. The place of birth, the circumstance, the parentage. And yet, this is the manner in which God chose to come to men. Jesus comes in humility. And when he comes, few but the lowly receive him. Did the priests in Jerusalem come to see the child? Did the Roman governors know that the King of Kings was born on that night? No, God continued to make himself known not to the great, but to the humble. He sent his holy angels to shepherds watching their flocks at night. And outside of the immediate family of Mary and Joseph, these were the first to know that God had, when God announced the glorious news that the hope of the ages, the Savior who is Christ, was born. God's anointed, the man who will sit on his father David's throne forever, had come. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and following, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And he has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And so God does not allow men to glory in themselves when his Son, Jesus Christ, appears. Instead, he reveals himself to the humble. And as Mary sang in the Magnificat, he has sent the rich empty away. This is entirely backwards. As Calvin and Zwingli said about the Lord's Supper, so men naturally say about the child Jesus, it is unfitting for God in his majesty to dwell in something so ordinary and small. But who are we to tell God what he can and cannot do? This is where God has chosen to reveal himself to us. And to this day, no man can come to God in any other way than through the flesh of this man, Jesus Christ. It is only in this humble child that we find entrance into God's eternal kingdom. There is no other way. In all your plans and in all your hopes and aspirations for this life, where would you rather be? Would you like to be found among the wise of this world, among the mighty, the noble, the rich, the powerful? Think carefully. Think of all the rich, the glory seekers in our day. Who among them do you find that are humbly bowing before the manger of Christ? Who would bow down the knee in acknowledgement that the child Jesus, even in his humility, is greater and more holy, just, righteous, and of greater worth than all the children of men or of any business, corporation, foundation, trust, or empire? As it was in Jesus' day, so it is today. Not many mighty are called. And so where would you rather be? Think carefully, because with a few notable exceptions, such as Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and the wise men from the East, Jesus did not keep company with such people. He wanted to. He entered their houses when invited. He called to the rich and to the powerful as well as to the poor. He wants all men to come to repentance, to escape the punishment that is to come. But you have to remember that Jesus is Christ, the Lord. And therefore, what God says in Exodus 20 applies to Jesus as well, that he is a jealous God, and he will not tolerate anything being worshipped beside or above him. Therefore, when the rich trust in their riches, and powerful men in their strength, wise men in their wisdom, they are setting up an idol in the place of God. But further, because the rich and wise and powerful trust in themselves, they don't really even want Jesus. Not a human and vulnerable Jesus. They have no use for a God who would come in human flesh, much less as a child who had to be born and learn and grow. And what will they get out of the cross of Jesus on which he bore the sins of the world? What value is there for them in his suffering and death? A glorious and powerful God they can respect, but not a bleeding and dying sacrifice. And that is why you do not find priests and governors, the rich and the ruling council of the Jews at the manger. You find shepherds and construction workers and a young woman who was recovering from childbirth. And even so, our Lord Jesus comes to you today. And how good that he chooses to come to man as he does. Consider what would have happened had Jesus come in the way that men think he should have. What if he did come as the mighty king who was heralded not by a preacher in the wilderness, but by the important people, the rulers and priests? And what if he were raised among the powerful? What would that mean for you and me? We would have to rise to his level to gain his regard. We would have to be strong enough and wise enough or rich enough to come to Jesus. We need a humble and a lowly Jesus. A Jesus who has nothing but a manger for a bed. For if Jesus is in weakness and poverty, then the weak and the poor have a real Savior in him. One who himself has known their griefs and sorrows, their temptations and their struggles. But is it enough simply to be poor to come to Jesus? There are many poor and lowly who do not receive him. And so it is that you do not have to trust in your own wealth and power. You could put your trust and hope in the wealth and power of others and still find Jesus to be of no help or comfort to you. Even if your wealth is perhaps in your works, your grasping attempts to please God, your pride at being good enough for heaven, these are the riches in which you trust, and then you will find no Savior in this child. Therefore, dear Christian, know this, that because this child is Jesus, the Lord God in human flesh, there is nothing that can stand between you and the God of your salvation. He does not ask that you become good enough for him. He does not expect you to become strong and wise. He receives you with your guilt and your sin, with your weakness and poverty, or even with whatever riches and strength he has given you, he receives you then also. In fact, even as he invited the shepherds by his messengers, the holy angels, so he invites you to come to him with the words, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid that God is too great for you or that he is too holy. The glad tidings of great joy which come to you on this day are for all people. Christ the Lord is not born to those other men who are much greater than you or better, but he is born to you. Yes, to you as you are. The glory of God in the highest is revealed to you even when it is hidden in the flesh of this child. And he who will bear your sin and endure the cross and grave has brought you the greatest peace of all, that God has given you his own good will. And by his Son, he has reconciled you who were once his enemy and has made you his friend. Glory indeed to God in the highest, who has brought such peace and goodwill to men. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thee thanks for all thy goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of thy dear Son, and for the revelation of thy will and grace. And we beseech thee so to implant thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it, and bring forth fruit by patient continuing in well-doing. Most heartily we beseech thee so to rule and govern thy Church Universal with all of its pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of thy saving word, whereby faith toward thee may be strengthened, charity increased in us toward all mankind, and thy kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into thy harvest, and sustain those whom thou hast sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant also health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all of our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after thy good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. May it please thee to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for thy name's sake and for thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble show thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, especially of them that believe. Cause all needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the youth, to all lawful occupations on land and sea,
and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with thy blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls, and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before thee. For thou hast purchased us to be thine own, that we may live unto thee. We especially ask thy blessing on this day for Linda Deers, that she may recover from her weakness, and if not, that thou wouldst give her the strength to endure her temptation, so that thy name might be glorified in her weakness. We also ask thy blessing upon Karen Nyhus, that thou would be with her in her recovery. Comfort her with the knowledge of thy gospel, which forgives all her sins, and restore her to health. These and whatsoever things thou wouldst have us ask of thee, O God, grant unto us for the sake of the bitter suffering and death of Jesus Christ, thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn 94.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It truly is meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 97.
Praise the God of heaven.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Christmas.
Thank you.
To you too, Pat.
I don't believe we have any announcements.